Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Also for this hour, this morning. Our faith, that's how the singers have sung. Our faith is the victory which has overcome the world. I greet all of you this morning, you who have come very warmly in the name of our Lord, and I wish you the blessing of God. I believe all of us are grateful to God for last night, for the blessing which He has given us. And this morning, we are looking forward for a new blessing. Before we pray, I would like to read a word of God from Luke chapter 10. From Luke chapter 10, from verse 21. Luke 10. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And then the Lord says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Praise and thanks. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Praise and thanks. Are we grateful to God that we can hear, that we can recognize what the Lord is doing in our days? Has He not revealed Himself to us and the mystery of the Godhead showing to us, revealing it to us? We have heard it. We have believed it. And He has revealed it to us. I'm grateful to God with all my heart for the privilege what He has given me to us, and also for the privilege to be here this morning to receive the blessing which He has prepared for us. Do we believe this? Praise and thanks. Let us stand up and let us pray together. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank Thee also for this morning. It's written that Your grace is new every morning. We thank You for Your grace, for Your word, for the revelation of Thy name, of the Godhead. We thank You for everything. We thank Thee that we may recognize that You have given us the insight. Lord, we praise You for the privilege which You have given us to be here this morning. Lord, we want to ask You, be present, feel at home in our midst, and reveal Thy presence by Spirit and Word and in deed and in truth. Lord, we thank You for everything. Lead our brother by Your Holy Spirit to say those things which must be said, so that we are all helped anew. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Thomas, please. You may be seated. We sing a couple of choruses from page 40. There the choruses start. Let us start with chorus number 14, Trust in the Lord. Number 12, Every Day with Jesus. Another chorus, and I ask you, while we sing this chorus, that Brother Jean-Claude comes to the front with his group so that we can hear the Hallelujah song. And afterward, I ask that Brother Ernst comes with his group. Brother Jean-Claude, come now. Be ready. Now we sing chorus number 11. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Thank you.
Where is Brother Ernest with his group?
Before they come, let us sing Only Believe. Oh.
Halten mich fest an dem Kreuz.
Praise and thanks be unto our Lord for his grace and faithfulness, for his precious and holy word, which he has entrusted to us and which he revealed unto us. Thanks be to him for his precious and holy blood, which he shed for us. When we were reading in Luke chapter 10, then he turned unto his disciples and said privately to them, what can we say today? Today he turned to us in a special way. At that time he spoke with them. Today he speaks with you, with me. Today he speaks with us. And by conviction we may say and testify that he has opened our understanding for the Scripture. That we really by grace understand everything the right way, whatever he said. Even when we were reading, no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom it will be revealed. We said it here a couple of times. We demonstrated it in the revelation which John was given on the Isle of Patmos. Is the word written apocalypse, and this means that before that everything was hidden. No one knew what there was. Everything was hidden. Apocalypse means to take away the veil so that we see our Lord and Savior as him who he is truly. And we may say, as Paul has also written, only in Jesus Christ the veil is taken away. Only by the true revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. On this first weekend of the year 2014, we wish us all, with all our hearts, God's blessing. In an overflowing way, as never before. And the singers, they of course repeated what the loving disciple of our Lord has written, the faith which is anchored in Jesus Christ, the faith in the victor of Calvary, is also our victory which has overcome the world. Today, we have a couple of things to say. Firstly, the greetings. Brother Schmidt has written down special greetings from Moscow, from the Ukraine, and some more things he has given. Brother Miski's special greetings from Angola and from Brazil. Brother Miskis must translate today, so he cannot be here down on the platform. Then we have greetings from the whole family Mbie and Kalala. Greetings from Burkina Faso. Greetings from Nairobi. greetings from Uganda, two greetings from Port Elizabeth, and then greetings from various countries and brothers, and the special greetings from New Zealand. Let me just read it. We are happy, you who are gathered there, to see you there and to hear you there. We rejoice with a choir. We rejoice with the sisters who are singing. We rejoice even when there is a child dedication. We rejoice together with you. And we thank especially the English translator with all our hearts for the nice translation. Brother Fitzek, may God bless you and be with you. We have said it before. Brother Fitzek, he came for the first time in a meeting in Johannesburg, and later on he was here. Then we have greetings from Brother Etienne Genton, who is greeting us with Revelation 3, verse 10. Just very wonderful that we are kept from the hour of trial which will come over the earth. Greetings from Brother Theo. Greetings from Brother Bruce and Brother Leonard. Greetings from the Ivory Coast. Greetings from Angola. Greetings from Brother Chauffeur. Greetings from Brother Chilumba. Greetings from Brother Didon, gift of God. Then, once again, greetings from Alexander. Greetings from Brother Aaron and Monica Zumbana. Greetings from Benjamin. Greetings from Mashi. Greetings from Israel. Greetings from Yeri. Greetings from Kitenga. Greetings from Brother Kabuya. And then greetings from Leon. Just greetings, beloved. I'm happy. We received already greetings to the year end. More than 70 emails and phone calls. We really, by grace, we are joined with all who can believe now. And as we said a couple of things last night, God really has given grace upon grace, that His revealed word, the word of the hour, with all the promises which God has given unto us, that it is being preached and proclaimed all over the world. I don't know how you felt, but to me, the word from Matthew 24, verse 14, really, it touched me anew, and it overwhelmed me anew. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all the earth. That's how it is written. That's how our Lord said it. It could not have happened at the time of Luther, not at the time of Wesley or at other times. This is happening in our time. And the Lord would say, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Brothers and sisters, are we really aware that we are witnessing a portion of the divine plan of salvation by His grace? And then, that really now 172 countries we are able to look after, who are joined with God and joined with us. That the revealed word, that we can pass it on, the pure holy word, that we can distribute the stored in food, and that all who are having part in the distribution, I have a real serious desire. Let the divine menu be as it was left unto us. Please don't add your own interpretation to it. Leave the word of God in the original and forget yourself. Because it's like this, that all brothers who are thinking to be something, then sometime they're coming up with a special revelation. This is the first sign that they have been blinded by pride, when they think to be something. No, whom God really uses, he remains humble under the divine protection. He remains in the word of God, as Paul has written in Corinthians, that we don't add to the written word, not going beyond that what is written. And this is really very important, brothers and sisters, not going beyond that what is written, but always abiding in the word. Abiding in the word of God as it was left unto us. Then we have the great privilege with that what is being fulfilled according to Bible prophecy, that we may see it, that we may place it by His grace. Today I brought some things with me. I will just touch upon it briefly. In particular, what concerns Israel. Israel remains the chosen people of God. God has blinded their eyes. He has plucked off the natural olive trees to graft in the wild olive branches. And right at the end, God will complete and finish with Israel. Namely then, when the church is complete, don't you worry. Even it looks like as if God would take too much time. But just be honest now. If the Lord would have come already at the time of Paul, as he was expecting it at the time, when he wrote, "We will not all fall asleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment." Thanks be to God for the 2,000 years of the time of grace. And we, who we are really waiting for the return of the Lord, also, Brother Branham, he was longing for it. And he said, "I hope that at the return of the Lord, I may stand behind the pulpit with a Bible before me." Also, he was longing for it. And just look how much years have come and gone. But God is patient. He remained faithful to His promise. He's waiting until the last ones are called out And when the number is full, then the trumpet will sound and the Lord will return. Today, I brought with me a large number of documents. Firstly, the Constitution of Ökumenism. And here it's written, really, in the first sentence, in the first confession, theological conditions of the confession of faith in the triune God. And then on these 7 pages, one can read what they have in their program. Everything can be read up, and brothers and sisters, even here, on page number 4, it says, there where the water baptism is closer described, there the baptism formula is only in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the scriptures are written down here. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 8, 16. Acts 10, verse 48. Acts 19, verse 5. Romans 6, 3. Galatians 3, 27. In the document, it's written of the World Council of Churches. Also, they know about it. They know what the doctrine is. That's written. The baptism in the early church. The water baptism in the early church. But they remain in their tradition. But they know how it was baptized in the early church. And now, brothers and sisters, we have returned to the faith of the early church. We don't only know how it should be baptized. We were baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. More, I don't want to say here. A special document. 75 pages of that, what the Pope said. And I tell you, it's just necessary that we know these things. I think we have the orientation, but here we have a document of the 2nd of June 2003. What was said at that time, brothers and sisters, we cannot go here into all the details. On 75 pages, so many scriptures, especially from the book of Revelation, they used. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So many scriptures used from the book of Revelation as no Protestant ever used them. And whoever reads it, he knows it. It's written. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelation 2, verse 7. Then about Jesus Christ, about his resurrection. Everything is being said here. The subjects are biblical. But what is being said about it is unbiblical. And this is the big problem. The subject can be biblical. But what is being said about it is not biblical. Also here, about Revelation 10, verse 8 and 9. Just imagine, in this document of the Pope, take the open book and eat it. Reading from Revelation 10, what has happened at the time, and nevertheless, No revelation, nothing but deception from A to Z. And time and again, scriptures are used and are applied wrongly. We don't want to go here into these things. Just thanking that God has a chosen flock which are called out from all people's tongues and nations, separated. As God separated his covenant people from all the other nations, as he spoke to them, as he revealed himself to them, as he gave them instructions, so the Lord separated his people from all people's tongues and nations and called out. And now we can believe with all our hearts as the scripture has said it. Then we have to report here. Today, exactly 50 years ago, the first pope made his first trip to Jerusalem. Today, 50 years ago, on the 4th of January 1964, the first pope made the first journey to Jerusalem. And if we today think about it, about the negotiations, about Mount Zion, about the 21 sites which the Vatican claims, then even the upper room on Mount Zion. But here we must distinguish. I will be brief. We must distinguish between all the negotiations which Mr. Kerry makes now, who travels the 10th time to Israel, and between the treaty which then will be made by the Vatican with all those who make their agreements now with Israel. This we must distinguish. All these treaties and contracts and negotiations have nothing to do with the final covenant of which it is written in Daniel 9, verse 27. He will make a covenant with many, and these many with which now is negotiated left and right, all these will be taken into this covenant. And brothers and sisters, we just have to say it. Everything is within reach. And what shall be done, also what the Pope shall do, this he will do. I was marveling a bit when our Chancellor was asking the Pope, how do you feel after you received the infallibility? Yes. And the other pope is seen on the photo in the background, and he probably lost his infallibility, and the other one received his infallibility. But let us not make fun here. It's very serious here. And now, the word from 1 Thessalonians 5, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Also the word from 2 Thessalonians 2, the Lord will not come except the Son, the man of sin is revealed. The lawless one will be revealed. Everything is revealed now. And this Holy Scripture, we may look up And time and again, we can thank anew that we may live now, and that the Lord turned to us, gather me, my people, so that they hear my words. We are not here to hear the words of men. Paul could say, the gospel preached by me is not after men, but it is the word of God, which was proclaimed to you. The same Peter could say, the word which we preached unto you as the gospel. Now, back to that, what we mentioned already before, from Corinthians, where Paul really put the emphasis on that no one adds to that what is written. We can all read it. 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. And before we come to verse 6, we must come to verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so consider of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And to underline this comes then verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That you might learn in us, that you may recognize in us, not going beyond that what is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Here we have a testimony of a man of God who has put the emphasis on that by the commission of God to say only those things what God had to say unto the church, and what he even has to say today to the church. And the same Paul writes then in Titus, in the last chapter, Titus, chapter 3, verse 10, he had to write, Titus 3, verse 10, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Everybody who was set by God into the church and who has received a ministry from God is of course for the edification of the church, is set for the edification. Every ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and Paul admonished also the elders that they should remain in the doctrine true. But also such words are touching our hearts. what already was from the beginning will accompany us until the end. Some will abide humble and in the word, and others will be proud, will have special revelations, will cause splits and divisions because they think to be something special. But as it is written, it remains true forever. Such men have gone astray. And therefore, we want to thank God always anew for the privilege that we remained balanced in the proclamation. I think here on the last statement, which we read at the last first weekend, when Brother Branham was told, not the gifts are the evidence, not the speaking in tongues, not the prophesying, but the evidence is therein that we believe every word of God with all our hearts. And what made the brothers out of it? You don't need any spirit baptism anymore. You don't need the gifts anymore. You just need to believe every word. Such people need a conversion. They didn't experience a conversion yet at all. How can you have fruits of the Spirit without having received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How can you have gifts of the Holy Spirit without having received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Because already John the Baptist said, I baptize you with the Holy Spirit. With water and repentance. He who comes after me shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. And when our Lord remembered on Acts chapter 1, he said, John has given the promise, and I tell you, remain in Jerusalem and wait until ye are equipped with the power from on high. Then ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and so forth. Why did he make such a strong statement? Because now we have 550 millions on earth who think to have the Holy Spirit. They're dancing, singing, clothing themselves like they want. Women coming to the front, and one could really give them one on their no difference between Elvis Presley or with other people, and they think they have received the Holy Spirit. Up to them of whom it is written, many will come unto me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, one Lord is enough. He who says two times, Lord, Lord, this is already not so good anymore. Have we not in thy name? This does not count. This does not count. Not what you and I have done, but what the Lord has done in us by his grace. And therefore we just have to say it. As Brother Branham emphasized, one can be baptized in the Spirit in the second realm without being born again in the soul. And at this place, we must just emphasize that all the salvation experiences are needed, from repentance, of the faith, of the conversion, of the renewing, of the new birth, of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and with fire, that the church is at the end as she was at the beginning. And then we have 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul describes and lists the 12 gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, which must be manifested in the true believers. And then Brother Branham can say, not the gifts, not if somebody pretends to have love, but he who really believes the word of God with all his heart, namely every word of God, without exception. If there's one single word which you cannot believe, then it's impossible. It's impossible with God. Not with God. It's not possible with God. No, every word of God is a seed, and the word as the seed is sown into us. We, of course, experienced it. I mentioned it last night or before that. All the great evangelists, I knew them personally, all of them. Their confession was, William Branham was a man sent from God with a special gift which no one else had. But then came the but, with his doctrine, we cannot agree. Instead examining themselves, whether they are in conformity with the divine truth and love, they are examining another one according to their measurements. Forget your measurement. Put on the measuring rod of the word, and then the word of God will be revealed to you. There are some precious scriptures which I still want to read for our strengthening in the faith, so that we can walk forward and that we know that the Lord will finish his work. One brother came into my office and he said, remember, God has taken all of the responsibility. This is correct, yes. But we also have a responsibility before God to put his word unto the lampstand. And this is happening now. And by grace, we can testify throughout all these years, we only preach that what we can preach from the Holy Scripture. And perhaps I should mention this also. I never preached about parables, because parables can be understood and interpreted this way or that way. I even didn't know what is written in Matthew 24. I always read about wars and rumors of wars. I knew that this will come, yes. But I never read verse 45 to verse 47. Only then, when the Lord said it to me, my servant, I called you, according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47, I have ordained you to give out the food. All of us, we know that all parables which our Lord has given and spoken, that they are connected with the kingdom of God. And then the Lord said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The time of interpretation found its end. The time was come where that what was hidden before, that it was revealed. And also here, we time and again may come back to that what the Lord what the Lord has said to our beloved brother Branham. Through his ministry, all mysteries of God will come to its end, will be finished. In the plural. And we just have to put the emphasis on it. Time and again, Jesus Christ in the singular is the mystery of God revealed. And it remains forever what is written in Revelation 10. Then the mystery of God is finished as he revealed it unto his servants, the prophets. Not his servants and apostles, but unto his servants and prophets. And we read it in the word of introduction. No one knows. It's impossible. We need the revelation by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are discussing or are expressing our opinions. But in the moment where the veil is taken away, and this is, of course, the great mystery with the Church of Jesus Christ, as written in Revelation 1, from verse 1 to 3, that John on the Isle of Patmos, to him was revealed what all the servants could take over as a revelation. Not every servant of God was on the Isle of Patmos. Not every servant of God has seen all the things which would take place. But all the servants of God have part in the revelation which God has given by his grace. And the same it is in our time. That what God revealed unto his servant and prophet was really also revealed to us in all the details by his grace. Because we took everything back into the Holy Scripture. And in it we found our absolute. Here it says in Romans chapter 1, also this scripture one can read over and again. Romans 1 from verse 1. Romans 1 verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to preach the gospel of God. Separated. You are a special tool unto me, a special vessel. I will send you unto the Gentiles. It was a calling. It was a call, a sending. And with this sending, the plan of salvation of God was connected, as written in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. How often we shall say it here? Firstly, God makes promises, and then he's watching over his word. And when the time is fulfilled, then the promises are becoming a divine reality. Then we can say, as Simon said, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. The moment comes where we can see it. And what did our Lord say in Matthew 24? When you see these things coming to pass, then you know that it is at the door. And then the conformity of the old to the new, from the new to the Old Testament. And then in verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship to work obedience to the faith among all nations. Yesterday, we read the word, the gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached unto all nations throughout all the earth, and then the end shall come. But here, not only for a witness, but to them who hear the word and who believe it, as written here, to work obedience to the faith for his name among all nations. So, not only preaching the everlasting gospel, but the calling out takes place. And the faith is connected with obedience, so that we truly can be well-pleasing to God, because we are found in the perfect faith and obedience. In Matthew 24, there are two verses which are worthy to be emphasized in this connection. Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, Matthew 24, verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? The last part of verse 3 in Matthew 24. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy return and of the end of the world? Tell us, please, Lord, tell it to us. And we were reading it from Luke 10, that the Lord reveals himself to his own. To you it is given to know the mystery of God. Tell us, when shall these things be? Tell us, what is the moment? Tell us, because it's about your return, about the completion of the plan of redemption. Tell us, O Lord, tell us, and we may testify. He didn't leave us in the dark. He told us everything what we must know by grace. And when we continue to read in Matthew 24, we were told everything of the false Christs, of the false prophets, of wars and rumors of wars, of everything we are told. And in verse 8 it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then it continues with false prophets up to the statement that the gospel shall be preached. And then verse 15, Matthew 24, verse 15, at the end, whoso readeth, let him understand. Whoever readeth, let him understand. Namely, that what the Lord said, when it comes to fulfillment, he who reads, let him be attentive. We are not only reading, we are attentive. We understand. We see the fulfillment of that what the Lord predicted.
And then in verse 27, the wonderful moment of the wonderful event of the return of our Lord. Verse 27, Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's how it is written. And that's how it will be. And here I just have to say, in some sermons which Brother Branham preached, the punctuation of the sentence was not made the right way. The commas and full stops and so forth. And especially when he was reading 1 Thessalonians 4, that the Lord will return with a trumpet and with the voice of the archangel. Afterward, behind it, he made the term the message. And in the English, there's not written a full stop, but a comma. The message will be this shout. And now all believe within the message that the Lord is already descending in the shout, only because one comma was set the wrong way. And when I then think about those things, and when I hear that, what Brother Branham really said, and how phlegmatically the things are spoken of. And here's the strange thing. Such brothers have no interest into that what Brother Branham said doctrinally about this subject. They hang themselves on one single statement, which sadly, let it be complained to God, sadly, the comma was not set the right way. There belongs a full stop. And then comes the sentence, the message will forerun the second coming of Christ. And you can really understand me, because I have a direct responsibility before God to preach the word of God. Such things hurt me. And then it can happen that they're claiming that I correct the prophet. I'm not even thinking about this. No, I'm not even worthy to loosen his shoes, leave alone to carry his shoes. But when it's about the preaching, then I stand alone before God. Then I must meet God with a pure conscience on that day. And then it continues here. And please understand it. Also in the Holy Scripture, everything was written down in one breath. Also here, in Matthew 24, it's written from verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. But this we will not witness anymore. This is after the tribulation period, as written here, black on white, and as the Lord himself said it. And therefore, always the emphasis, reading slowly, reading by the help of the Holy Spirit, to understand the things correctly after the tribulation of those days. And we as the church will be raptured before the tribulation.
But after the tribulation, then comes the fulfillment, what is written in verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. At the rapture, no man will see him, only the bride will meet the bridegroom. And then we see the connection to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you understand how important the biblical placing of the divine events of the plan of salvation are, that we really put and place everything there where they belong. And as we read, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And right, this is the sixth seal. And therefore, we just have to say, everything what will happen in the sixth seal is in the future. And also here, Brother Branham had said very clear words. Let us read it. Revelation chapter 6. Here it's written from verse 12. Revelation 6 from verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This, of course, didn't happen at the opening of the seals in March 63. In March 63, Brother Branham, those things which John saw on the Isle of Patmos and which he got revealed, Brother Branham has seen it, and he got it also revealed. The half hour silence was, of course, not in 1963. It was the revelation of that what will take place when the moment has come for it. And we just have to understand that God has sent his prophet. And in the 22 chapters about the revelation, I've described it precisely what will happen in sequence, and how Brother Branham placed it in a wonderful way. And he said very clearly, the first four seals run parallel to the seven church ages, and they show the Antichrist in the four stages. He spoke so clearly about it, as it could not have been said more clearly. And then about the fifth seal, where the martyrs are crying for vengeance, and just saying, these are the Jews, because a true child of God doesn't cry for vengeance. A true child of God says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he just lines out what the fifth seal is. And after the fifth comes, of course, the sixth seal, and then the seventh seal. And then Brother Branham said very clearly, these two seals fall into the great tribulation period. Brothers and sisters, I not only translated these sermons, I really dare to say humbly, when somebody translates, then before that he must have understood to be able to pass it on in his language. I, of course, not only heard the tapes, I translated every sermon. And we are just so grateful that we understood God's revealed word rightly. As we emphasized before, tell us, when shall these things be? Have you understood all these things? He whoever readeth, let him be attentive. When these things come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Now, coming back, before we close, coming back to the statement of Brother Branham, not the gifts, but the evidence is therein whether we can believe every word, really without any but and if. And to this we say Amen. We have no trouble, no problem to believe what God has said to us in His Word. Now, also concerning the gathering of the people of Israel, one can read it from Isaiah chapter 11, from Jeremiah 31, from Ezekiel 36. One can read all things precisely how God promised it, so it takes place. And now we are still waiting. Yes, not everything is happening during weeks and months, that years can pass. Therefore it's written that the Lord, in the course of years, God will complete His work and word. And I'm just grateful for it. I would like to read it from the prophet Ezekiel, that with the gathering, not everything is finished yet. The gathering goes before. And then we can read, for instance, in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather them from the people and assemble them out of the countries where they have been scattered, and I will give them the land of Israel. And I will give them the land of Israel. The land they received. But with this, something more tremendous is connected. Ezekiel 36. And here we are told what will also happen, what must still happen when the gathering takes place. Ezekiel 36, from verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. To this, the Lord would say, today, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. But it continues, when this gathering has taken place in the land, in verse 25 it says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So, the gathering, the calling out from all peoples, tongues and nations, then this purification must follow by His grace. From all filthiness of which they have become guilty, what is with us as the church from the nations? Also we have been gathered. But now it's about, now it's important, from all spots, from everything what is not of God, we must have come back to the Word of God. From all defilement of flesh, coming back to serve the living God so that we can become well-pleasing to Him. And then it's written in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. To this we say Amen. Then verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you, so into the soul, within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and really do them. This is a word also addressed to us. The calling out has almost taken place. I'm just under the impression now that only the last ones are being called now. And then the number is complete. And then the Lord will return to take us home. And as Paul has also written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, ye beloved brothers, are not in darkness that day would surprise you, should overtake you. No, you are all children of light. And the Lord Himself said, he who walks in the light does not stumble. And He said, he who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Precious brothers and sisters, Church of the Living God, the Bride of Jesus Christ, today it's about to experience the inner preparation, to experience the inner renewing, that we receive a new life, a new heart, receiving the Spirit of God. And we all know, only the Spirit gives us life. But the life is, of course, in the seed. And the seed is the Word. And the Word must be sown. And the wheat corn must fall into the ground. And it must die, so that the germ of life, which is in the wheat corn, so that it can come forth, and so that the harvest can be brought in. Therefore, Paul has said, I have died with Christ. I'm crucified with Him. And by the baptism, I was buried into His death. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Also, this we have read yesterday. The last message is not only the calling out, that we are introduced doctrinally into all these things,
But the last message has the result that the bride church stands before the Lord without spot, without wrinkle, unrebukable. She can stand before the Lord, washed in the blood of the Lamb, purified, washed by the water of the Word. And also the subject, which we touched upon briefly, with the Trinity. Now, on my flight back, I was listening to two sermons of Brother Branham. And I tell you, with what kind of seriousness the man of God spoke about it. What is being done in the formula of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All of Spiritism in all Christianity is being done in this formula all over. All over, doesn't matter, be it tables or all Spiritism, all the occult in Christianity is being done in the formula of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what did Brother Branham say very clearly in this one sermon? Three times he repeated that all who hear now the Word of God are delivered from this curse which has come upon them, and that they are baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we must emphasize it back to the beginning, back to the doctrine of the apostles. Peter, of course, precisely understood what the Lord said and baptized them in the name, into the name. Father is a title. And also this, one must distinguish. God is not called creator. He is creator. God is not called judge. He is judge. God is not called savior. He is savior. One just has to distinguish what is a title, a designation of him who is. He is our Father. Therefore we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is Father. But what is the name of the Father which shall be hallowed? What is the name? Baptize them into the name, in the name in which God revealed himself as Father, in the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. The New Testament covenant name of our beloved Lord and Savior, Yahshua. Yahweh has become Savior. The Yahweh of the Old Testament is Yahshua of the New Testament. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So, all who are not yet baptized biblically, all who are not yet delivered from this curse, may they make use of this opportunity to make a covenant of a good conscience with God. Also this, I've said before, you can all read it up. For what this triune formula is used, one can really shake one's head. All the orders, when they start right in this formula, they start, and all the world is bewitched, all the world is deceived, all the world is under the curse, and therefore the true proclamation must be put upon the lampstand, so that all who are God's possession must be taken out from this curse and must be placed into the obedience of faith and are baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And as we read here in this document, all the 349 denominations must submit to this document. We believe in the triune God. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we believe that there's only one God. And this one God revealed himself already in the Old Testament, and in the New, he revealed himself to us for our salvation. Ezra said, in heaven as Father. And therefore, our Savior could say, I ascend unto my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. Therefore, Paul could write in Hebrews that we all have the same Father. And brothers and sisters, as sure as the Son of God was the divine seed, was the Word which became flesh, so sure the Word which God promised to us is the divine seed which has been planted into our souls. And as sure as the Holy Spirit came upon Mary after she heard the promise and believed it, and as the Son of God was born, so sure the new birth takes place when we receive the seed of the Word, and when the Holy Spirit really brings forth the divine life in us. How many are longing for this divine experience of salvation? Just finding grace in the sight of God, knowing we want to be part of it when the Lord calls his own home. And I believe it's the highest purpose with a proclamation. It's connected with the highest purpose. As we said it today and yesterday, the everlasting gospel is being preached throughout all the earth unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So, the Bible, the Lord speaks of the end that shall come, and it will come. And now, at the end of the time of grace, by the end time message, God calls out his people, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Put yourselves on the side of God. Place yourself into the will of God, into the Word of God. And then the church will be found without spot and without wrinkle. She is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Washed by the water of the Word. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Prepared unto the glorious day of the bodily redemption. As we said, God will never seal any mixing. It's impossible. There, where statutes of men, where interpretations of men, where traditions of men are, there where the mixing is, you all know, the mixing goes back to the Garden of Eden. It is connected to beguiling. And the end result was Cain. As friendly as he was, sacrificing things and so, it doesn't help at all. It's a complete different seed. We read it in Matthew 13, verse 37 and 38. We were told it. The Son of Man sows the good seed, and these are the children of the kingdom of God. And the enemy sows his seed, and these are the children of the devil. One almost doesn't dare to say it, but that's how it is really written. Please, please. Not listening to any interpretation, never mixing the original word with a explanation, but remaining 100% in the word, in the grace, under the blood of the Lamb, as the church of the new covenant, which the Lord will take home, and we may be part of them who are hearing the last call. And we believed it because God has laid it really into our hearts. Let us close with the words, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your hearts, for they believe, for they can believe." Many prophets and also apostles desired to see the finishing, to experience the finish. And they went home before us. And we have the great, great privilege to live now, to read now, to be attentive, to see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But the main purpose is the preparation of the bride church of Jesus Christ, for it remains forever true what our Lord said in Matthew 25, verse 10. Those who were ready went in to the marriage supper. And it remains forever true what Paul has written in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to present Christ, a pure virgin, a chaste virgin. And this is happening in this time, that no mixing takes place, but only pure and holy in the presence of God. As it is said, washed in the blood of the Lamb, full reconciliation, complete forgiveness. And the word, letting the word alone be counting. Cleanse, purify us all by the power of your blood and of your word and of your spirit, until we come to the point that a mighty working of the Holy Spirit can set in, and that we are one heart and one soul. In Jesus' holy name, this will take place. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us stand up. Let us sing the chorus, "Oh, I want to see him. Oh, I want to see closer to home. for all who were spoken to by the word and who would like to dedicate their lives to Him, we give you now the opportunity not only to raise your hand, but on the first weekend of this new year, just to come to the front and to consecrate your life to the Lord, saying, Lord, you said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. He also said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He also said, wide is the gate and wide is the way which leads to destruction, and many are walking on it. He also said, narrow is the gate and narrow the way which leads to life, and there are just a few who find it. Whoever would like to dedicate his life fully to the Lord, you can remain there where you are. God sees us all, wherever we are. But he who would like to come to the front, he can also do it now. We are singing now, just as I am. This is wonderful. The word accomplished for what it was sent for. Also you, beloved brother, you can return back to your seat. The word really accomplished for what it was sent for. And nevertheless, should somebody still want to come, you can still come. You're not coming to any man. You are coming to the Lord. But in particular, I would like to put the emphasis on that all who are not yet baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may they take it seriously, may they make use of this opportunity, and may they make a covenant of a good conscience with God. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. The Lord God, may He bless you, you who you have come. As we said, the words of our Lord, we repeat it. He said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's still the time of grace. We may still come. May God bless all. May God bless all. Let us pray for you. Do you believe that the Lord has shed His blood for you? That the Lamb of God died? And that He cried out, it is finished. And in that moment, really all found grace in the sight of God. All who hear the message and who believe it with all their hearts, believing what the Lord has done. precious Lord, you ever faithful God, we pray for our precious brothers and sisters who have come to the front, and we pray for all who remained at their seat. Give us all new life by your grace. And we bring you also the special prayer request of the brother from Romania. Oh God in heaven, you have conquered Satan. Give this child a full deliverance of every power of Satan. You, O Lord, you are the victor of Calvary. Give our brother the faith that he speaks it out in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then it must happen, because it took place already on the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, you are the victor of Calvary. You rose. You have taken away the power of death. You have bruised the head of the serpent. And you have given us eternal life by grace. Bless us all who we are gathered here. Bless all over the earth, in all peoples and tongues. Bless all who are joining us now online. Bless all who afterward will hear the DVDs. O God, complete thy work of redemption with thy blood-bought flock. Bring us all into conformity with your word and with your will. We thank you for it, that we may live now. And not only we can place Bible prophecy, but that we can let ourselves be placed. May each and every member on the body of Christ find its place. May it come to fulfillment. By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Dear Lord, we pray now at the time of the latter rain, send the power from on high. Revive your work, O Lord, and bless your blood-bought flock. We thank you with all our hearts for it, that we could recognize the time, recognizing and receiving the message. And we thank you for the messenger whom you have sent, and for the message which we can pass on all over the earth. We may preach that what you promised us, and what you revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, give us all us who we are gathered here, and all, wherever they are gathered now, be it in the home cells, be it in local churches, assemblies, that we pray together now, praying loudly. Brothers and sisters, I ask you today, as written in the book of Acts, chapter 4, And they rose their voices in one accord, and they were thanking the Lord God. Let us now boldly raise our voices, and let us give thanks to the Lord with all our hearts. Hallelujah. Pray, pray, thank Him. Glorify the Lord. Precious Lord, we thank You. You have done great things in us. We rejoice. We worship You. You have called us. You have chosen us. You pardoned us. Oh, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts, with all our souls, for that what You have done, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be unto Your holy name. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Let us sing, only believe, only. You may be seated. You can return to your seats. You may be seated. We are grateful to God with all our hearts that we still can come together undisturbed. We are grateful to God that you can still come. The Holy Scripture speaks also of expensive times which will come. The expensive times, they are here now. But I believe the Word of God has become so precious to us that we leave everything else behind the second place, to then, when the time comes, to be under the sound of the Word. Especially, we thank our ministering brethren from the many countries of Africa, from all of Europe, from all over Eastern Europe. May God bless all from the riches of His grace. And especially our brother and his wife from the Iran, we wish you God's blessing with all our hearts and with all our souls. Dear, our brothers and sisters are going through big problems. Many have been already in prison. Some are still in prison there. It's just a situation which one can hardly bear. If somebody can be if he wanted, it's already enough when you try to convert a Muslim to the faith, then it's enough to that you have been put into prison. Such countries which have such, may God just give grace that our brothers and sisters, despite of all the persecutions, whatever they have to suffer, may they remain faithful to the Lord. Even it's about, even if they have to die, to receive then the crown of life. And we, who can still live in good conditions, let us really thank God for it. Once again, I want to emphasize, the Lord God has letting God go forth the last message all over the earth. And I almost say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen that your word, the everlasting gospel, has been preached unto all nations. I've said it here before yesterday. On our world map, in our office, we pinpointed 262 cities in over 150 countries in which the last message could be preached. And as mentioned yesterday, alone in the past year, altogether, 88 flights up and down, taking off and landing. Much time we used for the Lord. Much time to let go forth the last call. I thank you that you are still coming, that you are appreciating and loving the Word of God. Be honest. If the whole world would the whole world believe the testimony which I bring here, if the seats would be empty here? No, you are the visible evidence that God's word has not returned void in our time, but that it has accomplished in you, in us, that for what God has sent it for. And we invite you to come again the next weekend, and we ask you to register. If the accommodation is not enough here, then we are renting hotel rooms. Don't worry. We want to make use of the time. We want to redeem the time to experience the finishing. God knows when it will be. We are in great expectation. May this year be a year of jubilee. May the great atonement of God with mankind happen with us and through us and be manifested. Our brothers, which we didn't call at this weekend, may God still bless you in all cities, in all languages. May He be with you all. We stand up for a closing prayer. Brother Schmidt, please come to thank the Lord. Great God, we thank you for the grace and faithfulness, for the privilege that you have counted us worthy to witness all these things, to hear these things, to believe these things, to receive these things. Lord in heaven, your servant, the Apostle Paul, probably he wrote it to the Hebrews, O Lord, that without us it shouldn't take place. We thank you that you let us have part in it. Lord, I praise you. I ask you, please bless all. All who are here at this place, all who were listening, all who are watching, every heart which you touched, Lord, strengthen us in the faith for the glory of thy name, and give us all one mind to glorify thy name and to keep the unity in you. To you be the praise and worship. Amen. Brother Alfred, please come and pray also. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for your presence, for your speaking through your word, through your Holy Spirit. And we have heard and we believed the word which you have given to us. You revealed yourself to us in grace. We thank you for this morning, and we are sure that your word did not return void, but it has accomplished in all of us who have heard it. Bless each one who is present and who heard it. Worldwide, bless your people. Bless your people of Israel. We thank you for everything that we may take part in that what you're doing right now. And the message is back to God, back to the Word, back to the beginning. We thank you that we can do it by your help. Everyone who loves your word, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Thy countenance over all of us and give us thy peace and thy blessing and be with each one of us. We thank you for this weekend and we ask you once again for it. Please bless all our brothers and sisters all over the earth, from the rising of the sun unto its setting, and work thyself in all of you, in all them who believe you and trust you, that what is well pleasing to you, work it, so that we are a prepared bride and can be presented to you, the bridegroom, meeting you when you will return, when you will take us home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lamb of God, we thank you for the blood of the new covenant. Dear Lord, bless us. At this weekend, you have blessed us. You have opened our understanding for the Scripture, and you have given us the insight into your plan of salvation by your grace. Dear Lord, my heart is touched to thank you for all these past years, for the many journeys that your word could have been carried into all the world. We have seen it. We have witnessed it. And we are lifting up our heads, for we know that our redemption of the body is coming near. Bless all ministering brethren all over the world. Keep them in thy name, in thy word, under the leading of thy Holy Spirit. For everything we thank you, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. A blessed new year 2014. Praise Let us raise our hands. Amen. He did it.